Let me speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. In 2022, we face three mammoth challenges: pandemic recovery, averting ecological catastrophe, and combating the resurgence of sacred violence, the violence of empire that once more has raised its head in Europe. I list these not in order of importance, as each is of equal urgency. This week, we publicly acknowledged as a nation 1 million COVID-related deaths. The enormity of this fact continues to numb us into collective amnesia. Many millions more are still dying, and yet to die, in parts of the world where vaccine resistance and COVID denial are still major influences on public and governmental opinion. We continue to fiddle while the earth burns and floods, turning a blind eye to a massive environmental degradation that is fueling increasingly desperate population movements. The resurgence of sacred violence, the violence of empire, is not simply a massive shock to the European nervous system, but carries profound knock-on implications for international global food and energy security. Though in reference to the latter, we can only hope that this sharp shock is the start of a serious weaning from our dependence on fossil fuel. In these days of the Easter season, we remember that Jesus was the victim of sacred violence at the hands of forces driven to protect the vested interests of those who imprison the holiness of God, limiting and controlling it within human structures, the boundaries of which are then ruthlessly policed. Yet Easter reminds us, in Jesus' resurrection, of God's demonstration that love is stronger than death. In the cross and the resurrection of God in Jesus, the grip of sacred violence upon the human heart is broken. That love is stronger than death. This is our Easter song. The melodic themes of our Easter song sound through the Sunday readings, alongside Luke's historical accounts of communal transformation. And we heard about the dramatic events concerning the Apostle Peter in the first reading this morning, an expansion of God's grace to people who were hitherto excluded. The revelation to John takes the form as a kind of recitative. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. I heard a loud voice saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. And I am making all things new." Or as Belinda Carlisle sings, a blast from the past for us 80s boppers. And if you didn't catch the lyrics, ooh baby, do you know what that's worth? Heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Our Easter song opens with Luke's central melody of community transformation. And the words from Revelation augment the main theme with a recitative of divine expectation before returning to restate Luke's main melodic theme, but this time in the tonalities of John's gospel teaching on love in action. On Easter 5, it's the Revelation recitative of a new heaven and a new earth that I want us to focus on. In his book, Surprised by Hope, Tom Wright writes about Jesus' resurrection as the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. Many Christians today think that resurrection means spiritual life after death. They reason we don't need to worry too much about what did or didn't happen at the empty tomb, because resurrection is an internal spiritual experience. That means all of us will go to heaven to live with God when we die. Now, disregarding the events of the empty tomb and the physical nature of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus is an invitation to care more about the life to come than it is about the life to be lived here. Focused on our destination in heaven, we neglect the duty to leave this world in a better state than the way we found it. Resurrection as an internal, individualized spiritual experience is a theology of pie in the sky when you die. Now, pie in the sky when you die is not only a clever alliteration. You remember from your English lessons that alliteration is where each succeeding word repeats and sounds like the preceding one. But it's a truly terrible theology. In fact, it's not a Christian theology at all, because it severs the resurrection of Jesus from its context in God's age-long promise of a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, it breaks the continuity linking the resurrection of Jesus from God's ultimate goal, which is the resurrection of all of creation. And through the Hebrew prophets, God continually affirmed the goal of the resurrection project, which is nothing short than the repair and the renewal of the face of the earth. It's only within the continuity of this promise for the whole of creation that resurrection of Jesus on Easter Day makes any sense. The melodic cadences of Revelation's recitative sound in our ears. See, the home of God is among mortals. See, I am making all things new. Tom Wright speaks of resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus, as the foretaste of the future, brought into real time as God's promise of the kind of future we should anticipate in the present. To anticipate the future is to work tirelessly in the present, to not simply prepare for the future, but to realize the promise of the future here and now. Anticipation is fruitless without present time action. And nothing can be more important than the slowing and reversal of the ecological catastrophe within this context of a new heaven and a new earth. We anticipate the new heaven and the new earth through committing ourselves tirelessly to the project of ecological restoration in the here and now. And so Jesus' resurrection is not an individualized spiritual experience, but a collective and collaborative enterprise of next steps in the real-time unfolding of God's future purpose. Our collective realization of God's dream of a physical renewal of the creation in a new heaven and a new earth. Future anticipation requires decisions made and actions to be taken now. Our urgent need is to slow and to reverse the process of climate catastrophe. That is our present time blueprint for the future of a new heaven and a new earth. And we, you and I, have a vital role to play in the unfolding of that vision. See, the home of God is among mortals, not in heaven, but here. Or as Belinda Carlisle likes to say it, "Ooh, baby, you know what that's worth. Heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth." Our Easter song concludes with the restatement of Luke's main melodic theme, the transformation of community. But this time, we hear it through the tonality and rhythms of John's gospel. And we hear the voice of Jesus, the solo voice of Jesus, ringing out clearly above the restated melody. "Where I am going, you cannot come. So I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all know that you are my disciples." Now, if you think love is just sentiment, remember, love is action. And justice is its name. Amen.